Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
How's your spiritual life? That's what this hour is about today. Second hour, we've got Carlo Broussard is coming in, and that's going to be a great hour. Kind of the biblical foundations. Where do you find the papacy in the Bible with Carlo? I hope you will join us for that hour. 888-318-7884 is our number. This hour, Father Vincent Serpa is back with us. We used to call this segment The Chaplain Is In. But since Father Serpa has moved to a mysterious area of the world, a strange part of the world I am not fully familiar with, called San Francisco or something like that, we no longer refer to him as the chaplain here. And so we don't call it The Chaplain Is In. We call it Your Spiritual Life. This hour, that means we kind of cover pastoral concerns, tackle issues that have to do with the care of souls, with families, with maybe issues having to do with being separated from the church and wanting to be reunited with the church. Father Serpa is happy to take those calls. That means that if you are a person who has apologetics type questions, which is what we do almost every hour that we are on the air, is handle apologetics type questions. If you have those, then I would just ask you to hold off for another hour. Maybe call Carlo next hour or tomorrow. We have open forum both hours. We're happy to take your calls. Then this hour, we hold on those calls and take just these pastoral calls. Again, our number, 888-318-7884. And as I said, Father Vincent Serpa, Dominican priest and former chaplain of here at Catholic Answers, is our guest. Father Serpa, how are you this? Well, I was going to say this week, but it's been a couple weeks since we've heard from you.
Well, I've been fine these 2 weeks. I'm fine at this moment too, so I guess I'm just fine across the board.
That is great, and you're enjoying San Francisco.
Well, I'm not in San Francisco, but I'm enjoying where I am.
I know,
I'm
but it's all San Francisco to me.
It's north is Los Angeles, so it's San Francisco. I see.
I'm glad it goes Los Angeles, then everything north of that is San Francisco, and then Oregon. That's how the map works. That's the Southern California view of the world. And it's just the opposite. That's from when you're up there, everything south is L.A. and then Mexico.
Not for me, because I've lived in San Diego too long. 17 years worth is too many years to forget.
Yeah. Are you working hard, or are you getting some rest?
Both. I'm still organizing things in my cell, but I've got things pretty well. Although, unfortunately, the equipment for broadcast has been problematic today, but certainly not my fault. I don't know if a fault is a word to use, but...
Mick.
So... we're just making do today.
Okay. Well, we're happy to have you with us. I blamed Nick. So what? That's standard procedure. We blame Nick. Everything right, it makes us feel better to blame Nick.
He's your default man.
Right. What do you mean your cell? Are you in jail? What does that mean? Like a person listening says, I'm decorating my cell or preparing my cell. What does that mean?
I looked up cell today, and it turns out that the original, the older meaning is monk's cell, a square room, a simple room inhabited by a religious, a monk or a friar or a sister.
Yep.
And that the word cell regarding the body, the man who discovered the cell named it after the monk thing because it kind of was a square little thing and it was simple. And so he named it after the monk cell. And the same with jail cells. They're modeled after monk cell. But the monks came first. And so cell is a Catholic term. And I thought just the opposite too. I know when the Dominican sisters were on Oprah Winfrey's program, when they kept talking about their cells, she thought they were talking about their phones. But that's even a later term for the use of cell. But a cell needs the friar, in my case, the friar's room. And the fact is, it's it's where I sleep, and it's also my desk, and it's my office too, because I don't have an office now like I did when I was at Catholic Answers. I don't need one, so because I don't work in the parish. I mean, I work in the parish, I celebrate Mass, and I hear confessions, but I'm not on the staff.
Yeah.
I'm not involved in the goings-on of it. I just help out there. But in the Dominican community, I have responsibilities, and then I have the computer and the microphones and all that stuff for the Radio Minute and for what we're doing right now. That's in my cell. And it's looking pretty good. I'm not quite finished with it yet, but it's coming along.
Have you got? Oh, yeah, that's very good. So it's, what is it? I'm guessing maybe 4,000 or 5,000 square feet they give each of the fathers or brothers. Is that about what you have?
It's hard for me to visualize square feet. So, but it's whatever it is, it's adequate. And it's new because we have a new brand new house, so it's kind of nice. The doors are very high. I don't know why, but they are very, very high. No one is just nearly as tall as the doors are, but that's okay. It looks good.
In case you start levitating, you know, you're going to need to have a little bit of extra space there for you. 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. We're taking pastoral questions today. Father Serpa is happy to answer questions having to do with family, having to do with prayer, having to do maybe with changing habits, all those kinds of things. You ready to take calls, Father?
I certainly am.
All right. We're going to go then to Dunglo in Houston, Texas. We've got quite a few callers from Texas lately. So Houston, right at the epicenter there, Dunglo listening on 1430 AM. Are you all right there in Houston?
Yes, sir. It's a blessing with the live. Yeah.
Good. I'm glad to hear you well. Do you have your question for Father?
Yes, sir. And first of all, thank you, Father, for your talk. And 1430 is my only AM radio program in my car, so I listen almost every day. So thank you.
Wonderful. Great.
My question is, this is the first hurricane experience I ever experienced, and it was scary. It was quite scary, and I remember one night I was so scared, and I got up like 12:30 midnight to pray memorare, novena. Mm-hmm. So it was scary, and now survived. Very blessed, very blessed. Mm-hmm. So my question is, what's your interpretation of the meaning behind biblical meaning behind this Harvey, and it was labeled as number one economical disaster, cost $190 billion, and also, you know, I'm a Chinese origin, and there was also, although I'm Catholic, so a part of the thing I heard people talk about the karma, and this is also 100 years of Our Lady Fatima apparition, and the Jubilee, 50 years for the. So this last thing going on, and privately when I spoke to a couple people after the flood, and they used the word called the biblical flood, we survived it.
Well, Dunglo, so you're asking, Father, is there a biblical way to look at this? Because you certainly could look at karma or some other system, and it would have something to say about the flood. But you want it to know from a biblical perspective how we might make sense of this. Is that right?
Yes. That's been pondering me every 48 hours.
Okay. All right. Father?
Well, the most basic thing that a Christian would traditionally recognize through this is that obviously it's a cross for people to carry, and one that was a difficult one. A cross is never easy anyway, but it's an opportunity for us to trust the Lord and to be charitable to one another under a difficult situation. Crosses bring out the best in us or the worst in us, depending on how we look at them. If we unite ourselves to the suffering Christ, then it's a very good thing in the sense that we end up being more charitable than we would have been otherwise. As far as the thing itself, we refer to the natural disasters as natural evils, but not in a moral sense, just that it's a difficult thing to endure. And of course, none of these things are new. The world has been having these things ever since it was made, you know, earthquakes and floods and in certain parts of the world, hurricanes, tornadoes. But in our own lives, we have our own kinds of hurricanes, you know, illnesses, deaths in the family or loved ones, and the difficulties that come with daily life. This sort of thing doesn't happen so often in our country, but, I mean, it does happen every year somewhere in our country because of the natural makeup of it. But so we pray for each other, and you know, this did bring up a lot of good from people. I mean, people were very, very generous and concerned, and have sacrificed themselves for others as a result of this. People coming from other states even to help out. That's a good thing. I mean, it's one of the better things our country does, you know. So, and it wouldn't have happened if this difficulty hadn't been there. And the Lord called some people home to Himself. I think I've heard that there were around 60 deaths. He calls people home every day, you know, in one way or another. It's the way to get to heaven is to end our life here on earth. You know, we don't end it ourselves. The Lord ends it for us. But it's a matter of a cycle. And there's as long as we put the Lord first in our lives, there's really nothing to fear. We fear natural disaster. We fear pain. But ultimately, our lives are full of meaning if we're focused on Him. And no matter what happens to us, what really matters is how we end up with eternity. And if we live our lives well on earth, we'll be happy forever with Him in heaven. That's what we believe.
Denglo,
does that help?
Does that help?
Yes, very helpful. Thank you, yeah.
Very good. Well, we'll continue to pray for you and all of yours down there in Houston. And we have to take a break, so we'll be right back after this with more with our former chaplain and good friend, Father Vincent Serpa, as we deal with issues in your spiritual life on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Bishop Robert Baer, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Are you coming to the Catholic Answers Conference this September?
You guys put on a great show, so it's well worth coming.
Very powerful, very motivational and moving.
I think it's awesome. It's been really amazing to get to know people from all across the country.
Every time somebody's speaker finishes, I feel like I want to cry just because of how happy I am.
It's been pretty phenomenal. Very educational, enlightening.
This year's conference is September 28th through the 30th here in beautiful San Diego, and we want to see you there. Seats are still available, but act now because they are going fast. Call us today at 1-888-291-8000 or visit CatholicAnswersConference.com now and reserve your spot.
This is where it starts, and it definitely has started for me.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 4:38, we read that after Jesus left the synagogue, he entered the house of Simon, whose mother-in-law was afflicted with a severe fever. They interceded with him about her. He then rebuked the fever, and it left her. Now, certainly Jesus could have healed her when he first saw her difficulty. But by having the others intercede for her, they were able to show her love as well. As members of his body, we are members of each other. The whole matter of interceding for each other is the way he designed us to act. So, what is the difference between the household interceding with Jesus about Simon's mother-in-law and the saints in heaven interceding for us now? Basically, nothing. The saints intercede for us, and we intercede for one another for the very same reason. It's all a matter of love. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Cy Kellett, your host here with you, and joining us today from up there in Northern California, Father Vincent Serpa, former chaplain here at Catholic Answers and Dominican priest who is almost done getting his cell all ready there. And the topic of this hour, your spiritual life. Do you have any questions about prayer life, questions about family life, anything of a pastoral nature? We are taking this hour and we're just asking you to hang on. If you have apologetics type questions, we will get to those next hour or all day tomorrow. Both hours tomorrow are devoted to open forum. 888-318-7884 is that number, 888-31-TRUTH. We're happy to take your calls. I don't know what happened, Father, but sometimes I think it's that I push wrong buttons or I do things wrong, but there must be occasions where that's not the case, but we dropped all the calls, so we're waiting for people to call back. 888-318-7884. I go immediately to, is there any way that I can blame Nick for this? But I don't think that it's likely that I can blame Nick for this. It is the case, however, though. I mean, the second hurricane is coming now, Hurricane Irma, and really seems to be hurting the islands of the Caribbean or Caribbean. I asked a person one time from there, how do you pronounce it, Caribbean or Caribbean? And they go, either way. So now I say it twice, I guess, just to satisfy everybody. But there are going to be.
Are you trying to satisfy everybody?
If I could, but I know that our hearts are restless until they rest in the Lord.
I don't think God cares one way or the other. And as long as you're satisfying Him, that's it.
You think that's you're right. That probably should be my priority.
You to relax if you're relaxed, you won't be so apt to push the wrong button. You know what I mean?
That's probably not true, Father. I don't think that I pushed the wrong. I don't think that I pushed the wrong buttons.
Defensive again.
Sincerely, I don't think it's because of anxiety. I think there's actually a mental problem involved.
I thought you were going to say it was the devil or something. Okay, mental problem.
No, I wasn't going to blame it on the devil. It's because I can be perfectly relaxed and still have no idea what I'm doing technically at any given moment. So, and I know I tease you about that, but I tease you because I am simpatico with you on that.
I see.
Now every single line has lit up. So I'm not going to touch that you did it. I'm the one that gave out the phone number. 888-318-7884. Taking your calls on pastoral issues, your questions on family, on prayer. I was going to ask you about with this big new hurricane coming now, Hurricane Irma. It does produce enormous anxiety. You said there's nothing to fear, but it does produce fear. I mean, you have this thing barreling down on you.
Well, the people in Miami are really worried, I'm sure, you know, because at this point, it seems, well, last I heard, it seems to be headed in that direction. And we know it's bigger than Andrew, I think they said. I think they said it was Andrew that was bigger. So it's the whole state can't evacuate. So it's a matter of just putting oneself in the Lord's hands and trusting that only in His hands are we safe anyway, you know.
Here's the part that it's hard to explain sometimes to some people. Trust fully in the Lord. Have no anxiety because the Lord is there, but do everything you can to take care of yourself and your family. Like, how do you square those
and
two?
And don't berate yourself because you're anxious or because you're frightened. It's natural enough.
Right. Because
we're not all at the point of ecstasy untroubled by things that go on around us. That's a great ideal, but right now most of us aren't there. But we do know the Lord loves us, and we pray. You know, we ask His help, and that's a good thing. You know, and we accept whatever the Lord sends or whatever the Lord allows.
Well, right now the Lord is allowing a lot of people to get through on the lines. I am going slowly and pushing the buttons.
Okay.
BJ in Manhattan, New York, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. You are on with Father Serpa. What's your question?
Hi. I was wondering if Father could give me a suggestion to start a journey along the Catholic mystic path, kind of like St. John of the Cross or St. Teresa of Avila. What would be a way to take my first step down the mystic path?
Well, you might start reading them, you know, and see how that goes. You know, the more familiar you are with their advice, and particularly Saint Teresa of Avila, she's you know, not as difficult. Because with John of the Cross, you're getting some poetry there too, and she's very, very practical. You know, I would start with her and see how it goes. How's that?
Okay. Yep. Thank you, Father.
Thank you very much for that call. We do appreciate it. Again, pastoral calls this hour, 888-31-TRUTH. We go now to another call from Houston, Texas. Are we taking extra care to make sure we get the people from Houston in? Ever since the hurricane, a lot of calls from Houston. Leslie in Houston, Texas, listening on EWTN. Thank you for your call. First of all, since you're in Houston, are you well, safe, warm, and dry?
Yes, I am. Thank God.
Amen. Thank God for that. Leslie, your question for Father.
Thank you for taking my call. I need spiritual guidance on how to handle the situation. I have a 21-year-old brother who is gay and also graduated from college in May. So we're my family is very proud of him. But at the same time, I'm very sad because he said that he doesn't believe in God, and he was raised Catholic, and he was involved in our faith, but since he went off to college, it just completely changed him, and I just don't know how to handle that.
Well, first of all, the Lord's not finished with him yet. This isn't the whole story. This is just part of it. And we all have our ups and downs. You know, many people doubt and slip away and then come back stronger than they ever were before. And that's quite possible with your brother as well. He's in the Lord's hands. And the Lord sees the whole picture, and of course we don't. The important thing is to keep, loving towards your brother, and keep trusting the Lord. The Lord knows best, I've known people who were where your brother is for the same reasons, and then somewhere along the line they have a conversion experience, and all of a sudden the Lord means more to them than anything, and they have a change of heart. Continue to pray for him, and put your trust in the Lord. Don't worry about it from a natural standpoint. Put your trust in the Lord. He's the one who's really in charge. And we'll be praying too.
Okay, Leslie?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
God bless you, Leslie. Thank you very much for that call. And while we're still continuing to pray for the people who are recovering in Houston, we're also just starting to pray for those who are either recovering from Irma or in Irma's path. So and I hope everyone will remember that to keep folks in their prayers. Sometimes, Father, some people will say, oh, you're not doing anything. Like, that's a new thing where the atheist types on the internet will be like, we don't want your prayers. We don't need your prayers. Your prayers don't do anything. That strikes me as first of all, kind of rude, but second of all, like it needs an answer. How do you answer something like that?
Well, usually that's an expression of hostility because they know it matters to us. So they want to fight and hurt and they think they're hurting us by saying that your prayers are useless. They don't bother. I don't need your prayers. There's a lot of resentment and ugliness there, but it's because they feel that way. They feel pretty ugly, and we don't get angry with them and try to hurt them back. What we do is pray for them because they don't realize really what they're meant. Like our Lord said, Father, forgive them; they know not what they do. They don't realize the significance of what they're saying because they don't have faith. They don't realize how wonderful God is and how completely inappropriate it is to say things like that. So they don't realize it, but we do. And so we pray for them and we love them. We don't try to, give like for like.
Oh, you always say that, Father, that we have to love people. I find that very difficult.
Yeah, I know.
888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. former chaplain Vincent Serpa. Father Vincent Serpa is here with us this hour. We're taking your questions of a pastoral nature or a spiritual nature. We'll be right back with more of that after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Join us on air today on Catholic Answers Live.
If you're currently an EWTN media missionary or just interested in becoming one, we've got some great news. EWTN Media Missionaries has a new and improved website. EWTNmissionaries.com, designed with you in mind. Our new site is loaded with great features and it's easy to navigate. There are so many different ways that you can help EWTN. Join us in sharing the eternal word with the world. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com today.
Monsignor Robert Hugh Benson's masterpiece, Lord of the World, is, in a word, prophetic. Originally published in 1907, it depicts a world where relativism has triumphed over objectivity, a world where, in the name of tolerance, religious doctrine is not tolerated. It is a world where euthanasia is practiced widely and religion hardly practiced at all. The lord of this nightmare world is a benign-looking politician intent on power in the name of peace and intent on the destruction of religion in the name of truth. Author Dale Alquist said it best, whether or not Monsignor Benson's picture of our future is accurate, the fact is his picture of our present is chillingly accurate. Recommended by Pope Benedict XVI and by Pope Francis, Lord of the World is a must-read. It's also the latest release in the Catholic Answers Classics series. Order your copy of Lord of the World now by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting Catholic.com or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father Vincent Serpa, our guest this hour. Your spiritual life is our topic this hour. If you have questions about the spiritual life, about family life, about prayer life, about life eternal, all those questions are welcome this hour. Next hour, Carlo Broussard will be here with us, and Carlo is going to take us through the biblical kind of roots, the biblical roots of the papacy, where we find the papacy in the Bible. And so then we'll start back up with our apologetics. This hour, we step away from apologetics and do a little bit more pastoral stuff. 888-318-7884, the number 888-318-7884. Father, shall we go back to the phones?
Sure.
We go to Anais in Dallas, Texas, and the was not part of the name. Anais is the name. In Dallas, Texas, listening on 9:10 a.m., your question for Father.
Hi, Father. Basically, my question is, when being in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, I struggle a lot on what to do when I'm there, especially when I'm not feeling okay within myself. Maybe when I'm mad or frustrated or sad, I feel that I don't know how to pray. A lot of people tell me to just go and then just sit there and just be quiet and just look at him and just basically do nothing. I try to do that, but then I kind of start wandering off, you know, thinking about things that I shouldn't be thinking about and just stuff like that. So,
okay, well,
I guess
the thing is,
my point is that I know that, that I'm taking advantage of that time and I'm doing things.
Well, okay, what's important there isn't what you do, it's who is there. And don't worry about whether you have good feelings or not, whether you have distractions or not. That doesn't change the reality of what's going on there. You're in his presence nevertheless. And if you're distracted through no fault of your own, the time is never wasted. Spending time with him because you want to be near him is good in itself. And if your intention is to want to be near him and be attentive to him, even though you're distracted a lot, it's still a very meritorious hour that you're spending, because you want to be near him, and he knows that, even without you saying it. He knows it better than you do, even. So don't worry about that. If you find that just sitting there, you begin to feel kind of nervous or uncomfortable, do you know the Divine Mercy Chaplet? You know how
yes,
to do that?
I do. Yes.
You can do that, or you can say the Rosary. Reflect on the sorrowful mysteries. Start thinking about what he was willing to endure for us because he loves us so much. Let it be a loving time. Let it be, if you can respond to him, knowing what he was willing to endure for you, that would be a very good thing, but he's not having a difficult time being with you. And he doesn't worry about whether you're going to be distracted or not, because you're there because you want to be with him. And that's all that matters to him. And that matters more to him than anything else. You're wanting to be there because of who he is. That's a prayer in itself. So you're praying a lot more than you realize. And whether you're getting satisfactions out of it is really quite secondary. The big thing is what you're willing to do there. That's what we're judged on, is what we will, not what we feel. And you're willing to be there, so that's a good thing. Okay?
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much, Father.
Anais, thank you for that question. We're in the studio here. We're all going, that's my question. That's exactly how I feel about that. So that's very helpful that you asked that question. We do appreciate it. I imagine a lot of people feel that way, Father.
We all do it one time or another, sure. Some days are better than others.
Amen to that. Regina in Los Angeles, California, listening on the mighty 930 AM Immaculate Heart Radio. Your question, Regina.
My question, thank you, Father, first of all, is that when we go to a different church, our tithing, what amount should we pay, the same amount or different if we are attending a mass at a different parish, because like a different town or city, and for some reason, right now my sister is ill, and I go to her parish in the weekends because I'm there with her. So about the tithing,
okay.
Should I still be tithing in my church? Or?
Father, was that all clear to you?
I think that she's asking if she goes to another parish, if
right.
She's supposed to tithe there. It depends on how long you're going to be away. If you're going to be away for a short time, you can just continue to support your parish when you get back and give them what money you were going to give. But on the other hand, if you're going to be there for a while and you're receiving service from this other parish, then it would be appropriate for you to give them the money, because they're the ones who are they're serving you. They have to pay for the electric bill and the candles and all these other things. And since you're participating in this other parish, it's appropriate to give them the offering while you're there, if you're going to be there for any length of time. Does that make sense?
Regina?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much, Father.
Oh, very good.
Okay, you're welcome.
Another satisfied customer, Father. 888-318-7884, the number here. We're taking calls entirely of a pastoral nature today. If you have a question about prayer life, spiritual life, sacraments, maybe you want to return to the sacraments. Father can help you with that as well. We go now to Ann in Bakersfield, California, listening on 1050 AM. Ann, your question for Father Vincent Serpa. Ann?
Hello.
Quite sincerely, that is not me, Father. I know you're thinking that I pressed the wrong button, but I did not. I'm still giving her a chance. Ann, no?
Okay.
Somewhere near? She could. It's. I don't know.
1050, it's a strong station. I listen to it when I drive down.
Yeah.
Hill College?
You're Bakersfield.
But hi, Ann.
Pardon?
Hi there.
Sorry.
Online.
We were just chatting while we waited. Did you have a question for Father Vincent Serpa?
Yeah, I do have one. Among all that is written in the Word of God, how does someone know beyond a shadow of a doubt where it says, among all else that is written in the entire Word of God, that I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And God, where God tells us not to rely upon feelings, because feelings change. But it's all about faith. Right. How do I know, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God is with me, and where I'm constantly seeking God in His presence, you know, that God is with me, and I don't feel Him with me at all?
Okay.
Well, have you ever felt your heartbeat, you know, your pulse? Can you hear your heart beating?
Yes, I do every day.
Okay, well, that's a direct result of His deliberate work in you. He gives us life. He gives us existence. So every beat of your heart is an affirmation from Him that you matter to Him, or you wouldn't be here. So any affirmation is as far away as your heart is. Every time you hear it or feel it, it's the result of his direct action in your life. He's giving you that life at that moment, and your heart beats your whole life here. And when eventually your heart stops, He's there too to receive you. So as long as your heart is beating, you know that He's paying attention to you. Or as long as you're aware of your own existence, He's paying attention to you. Your very existence is a result of what He's doing all the time, or you wouldn't exist.
I wouldn't exist, but have you ever hungered and craved God's presence? You just want to be as close to Him as any human being could be, as close as He was to Jesus Christ. That's who I want to be, as close to God. You know, God is close to me, but I want to feel. I want to feel His presence, and I don't feel it all the time.
Well, okay. That's beside the point. He may not want you to feel His presence. He may want you to trust Him, because you'd be more meritorious. You're trusting Him without getting any goodies out of it. You know, any satisfaction out of it. Mother Teresa went for years without any satisfaction, but she kept praying because she loved Him, even though she received no satisfaction from it. She did when she was younger, but then He withdrew it from her to help her to be more loving, because she was meriting far more by not having those feelings. The big thing isn't to have feelings. The big thing is to put Him before all else. That's what is most pleasing to Him. But He does give us feelings at times when He feels that we need it, when He determines that we need it. But so don't be discouraged because you don't always have good feelings. The important thing is that He mattered to you. That's what matters. Okay?
Ann?
Yes.
Does that help you?
Well, not fully. No, it doesn't. So I really want to feel God. He's with me no matter what. I mean, He spared me.
Well, okay, but it's not up to you. It's up to Him. That's the whole thing. I mean, it's not up to... We live in a world that puts feelings above everything else. That we are our feelings. We're not our feelings. Our feelings are things we have. They're not us. And he said to be His follower is to take up our cross daily and to follow Him. He didn't say to have good feelings. He said to take up our cross, which means to deny ourselves, to go the hard way, the difficult way. But when somebody cares about us, they may tell us that they love us, but then people who don't love us can tell us that too. But it's the people who are willing to put themselves out for us that are the ones who really care about us. And 'cause love is measured by sacrifice, not by good feelings. You know, how much you care about another person by how willing you are to put yourself out for them. And what He's asking of you right now is to put yourself out for Him by not having the good feelings.
That's where
love really lies.
I hope that was very that was helpful to you, Anne. Really appreciate the call. Glad we waited. It was very nice talking with you, Anne. We have to take a quick break, however. I'll give out the number again in case you have a pastoral question for Father. We'll try to get you in before the top of the hour. 888-318-7884 is our number. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Father Vincent Serpa is our guest. And your spiritual life is our topic. We'll be right back with more of that right after this.
Call us now with your question.
Hello?
On Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Bibles contain several books that aren't found in Protestant Bibles, and controversy has swirled around these books for hundreds of years. Protestant apologists often make charges like Catholics have violated God's Word by adding books to the Bible. Jesus and the apostles didn't honor these extra Catholic books. The New Testament never quotes these books, or the books contain clear historical and theological errors. Such arguments can catch Catholics flat-footed, leaving them not knowing how to understand. But now, Catholic Answers is coming out with a brand new edition of apologist Gary Machuda's classic work, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger. In this new and improved edition, Gary exposes many commonly held myths and uncovers little-known and surprising facts concerning these books that Protestant Bibles have lost. Developing and distributing informative resources like Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger is the kind of effort your generosity makes possible. To make your donation and to get a free copy of Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger, visit Catholic.com and click the Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger banner, or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000. That's the Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger banner at Catholic.com, or call toll-free 888-291-8000.
Face it, it's tempting and easy to be a man of the world. Father Terence Ehrman has a challenge for you. Be a man of God instead. In his new book, Man of God, Father Ehrman draws on his experience counseling men who are struggling to live in the world but not be of the world. In a unique, easy-to-read format, he offers holy spiritual direction for all men who want to master themselves and be transformed from within. Order your copy of Man of God today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Oh my gosh, so many calls. We'll try to get to all of them as we make our way to the top of the hour. Next hour, Carlo Broussard will be here. 888-318-7884, our number. Father Serpa, our guest, and we are discussing questions having to do with the spiritual life. Your spiritual life is our topic. And if you have a question about your spiritual life, just give us a call. 888-318-7884. We go now to Nick in McHenry, Illinois, listening on WSFI. Nick, your question for Father Serpa.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can, yes.
Sure. Yep. Sorry about the speaker, but thanks, Father, for taking my call. Just a follow-up in regards to helping family and getting through some financial troubles. I had my nephew stay with me for about 6 months this last few half a year here. He graduated and he's off to basic training. But the question I have is, we're obligated to see this young man through really financially, and he doesn't have a family support. So wondering offhand, he's 18 now, but still likes us to be involved with his army and visiting with a family. Am I still obligated after I kind of had him stay and graduated from high school and got him in the army in that regards? And just to let you know, I did call in, and your advice is to keep praying and going to church. And by golly, he's looking to become a Catholic now when he was in basic and wants us to go to Mass. So just to let you know.
Well, as far as the obligation is concerned, I don't know your situation all that well, but from what you're saying, you've been very good to him, and I would encourage you to be good to him, to continue that the relationship you have with him. But you have to operate from your means, and whether you're able to do it or not, or whether you think it's going to be to his benefit, that is entirely up to you. So I wouldn't see it so much in terms of obligation at this point, but certainly your friendship and your care for him is very important, because it sounds like he doesn't have anyone else, and you certainly don't want to just drop him. I know you're not suggesting that, but I don't know that he's going to be that financially in need of you. I mean, he does earn something in the service, so Has he mentioned that he wanted more financial help when he comes out, when he gets out?
No, but probably a place to stay when he has breaks in the holidays and stuff, which I'm already willing to open our doors again for him, you know, just because he is going to service. So, but yeah, other than that, I appreciate your guidance. It has helped. And if we can, I think, like you said, financial will be fine, more moral support and family support that his family isn't giving right now. So,
I think the fact that you've done what you have done, you have been family to him, and that makes a big difference in a young person's life, especially if they're not getting it from anyone else. You know, at least they feel loved. You know, and that makes it. I mean, everybody wants to be loved. You know, so you're doing a good thing. Just continue as best you can.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks very much for that call. I'm just going to move quickly because we do have a whole bunch of calls now to get to. Mary in Roseville, Minnesota, listening on EWTN. Your question for Father Serpa.
Yes, Father. Thank you for taking my call. I'm going through a dry period during my walk right now. I broke my ankle about 6 months ago in a couple places, and my life isn't as active as it had been, and I'm just feeling, I've been listening to the other callers and they're all helping me. So, you know, my feelings are trying to kind of dictate to me, you know, my relationship with Christ. And I'm hearing what you're saying, that's not what we are. And, that's really helped a lot, but I still can't help, sometimes tempted into despair.
Sure. Well, and that's what it is. It's in temptation. It's not the reality. And you know, you're not alone in this. Everybody has a cross, and everybody at certain times in their life have more challenges than others. I mean, I know an instance of a bishop who hadn't been in a new diocese for very long, and he broke both wrists, and that really rendered him helpless. I mean, really helpless. And the Lord was asking that of him. And I'm sure that the difficulty that he went through, eventually, of course, he healed and all. And I'm sure that was a prelude to the future, you know. But sometimes the Lord prepares us for future challenges by the challenges we have at the present, you know. And so, you know, granted, with your situation right now, you're more vulnerable and you're not able to do all the things you'd like to do. You're not able to be as mobile as you'd like to be. But give it to him. You know, offer it. Our Lord was, when he hung on the cross, he was very immobile. I mean, he couldn't even scratch his nose. Not that I necessarily wanted to, because he was hurting in so many other ways. But he was totally vulnerable. I mean, he became totally vulnerable for us in the most painful way. So he's letting you share a little bit of that and offer it back to him and recognize that this is a temporary thing. And eventually, you'll be feeling better, you'll be healing, and then you'll be able to do something else that he wants you to do. But right now, he's wanting you to imitate him in this particular vulnerable state, and it's not a bad thing.
Mary?
But take comfort in the fact that you know, offering him this is an act of love. You're loving him when you experience this.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Mary. Sorry about the broken ankle. That bishop, did he give up skateboarding after he broke the two wrists, Father? Or?
no comment.
Allison in Los Angeles, California, also listening on 9:30 a.m. Allison, your question for Father Serpa.
Hello, Father. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi.
Sure. I'm following with a question. I was wondering about the differences between an apostle and a disciple. And I mean, in modern times, if there is a criteria of both that would be definable or that you could describe for me the difference.
Oh, sure. There are only 12 apostles. They were the original. But anybody who follows Jesus is a disciple. So then, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of disciples through the centuries, but only 12 apostles, and one of them betrayed the Lord and was replaced by Saint Matthias, and that's it. No more apostles, but many disciples. The apostles were the first bishops of the church.
So the reason I wanted to know the definition, or at least the distinction, is I'm concerned in the future for the church. I was raised Catholic. I've been away from the church. And when I go back, I'm really saddened when I go, and there's nobody. It seems like from when I was younger, there's nobody there. And it just really troubles me. I know that it's been part of my, you know, my...
Well, what do you mean there's nobody there? I don't understand.
I mean, I go to church, and there's just less and less people, and I'm so concerned about that. I'm concerned about how we can,
Okay, that's a particular parish. There are some parishes where there are more and more people. Depends on where you go. Maybe in your hometown it's that way, or your home parish. But it doesn't mean that the church is dwindling by any means.
I think it's more important. I think it's more needed now than it's ever been. I feel like it's more, I have a guilty conscience.
Yeah. 2,000 years is a long time for the church to exist, and it's still here, and it's still strong. The guilty conscience could be affecting that, certainly. But the fact is, even if there are few people in your parish church, the Lord is present there in the Eucharist, and He's really there. And you see that little light flickering in the sanctuary or near the tabernacle. He's there. He's really there. And He paid a big, very big price to have you come back. So take advantage of it.
Allison, thank you.
How much He loves you.
Thank you very much for that call. Yeah. Now we go to Nancy in Garden City, Kansas, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. Nancy, your question for Father Serpa.
Father, my question is, and I'll try to make this as short as possible, but on my Facebook, everybody keeps talking about praying for this hurricane, praying for Harvey, praying for the fires, praying about North Korea, praying about this, and I'm saying, I think we need to stop praying about these little things, and let's just pray for Jesus Christ to return upon this earth. And everybody gets kind of upset with that. And
well, since when is a hurricane a little thing?
Pardon?
Since when is a hurricane a little thing?
Well, I don't talk about a little thing, but I mean we got multiple huge things that are coming against us.
Jesus told us to ask Him for what we need. So, you know, he didn't just suggest it. He told us to. He told us to ask for what we need, you know, and even the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then we ask for our daily bread. We ask for the grace to forgive our neighbor. That's part of being a follower of Christ, is to ask for things. He'll come back. He'll return. He promised He'll do that. We don't have to pray for that. It's going to happen sooner or later. But the big thing is we want to be prepared for Him when we die, because for us, our world ends for us when we die. We want to live a good life, a charitable life. And along the way, we ask for the things we need, our daily bread and our health and the ability to be faithful to Him. All those are things that we need to ask Him for. It's not the only form of prayer. Prayer isn't just petition. It's adoration and thanksgiving and contrition as well. But the prayer of petition is an appropriate thing to do.
Would you mind petitioning the Lord for a blessing for us, Father, before we go?
Sure. May the peace and blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Thank you very much, Father Serpa. Very nice
You're
to talk
welcome.
With you again. Good luck finishing the decoration and the preparation of your cell.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
All right, next hour, Carlo Broussard will be here with us. We're going to talk about the papacy and its roots in the Bible. Give us a call, 888-318-7884. You know what? You don't have to be Catholic to call on that one. If you want to disagree with us that the papacy has roots in the Bible, give us a call. Carlo would love to talk with you. 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with Carlo after this on Catholic Answers Live.